How are we all? Excellent. Lovely to see you. I'm just going to begin with a quick prayer. So let's just bow our heads. Thank you, Ade, for reading that. It was really long reading, and you did it very, very well. So thank you very much. Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for your love and care of your church. Now, I'm going to begin this morning with a short history lesson and some questions for you to think about. Perhaps I don't want you to answer them, but you can certainly think about them. So my first question, what is the difference between Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday? First question. Second question, what is the link between Mothering Sunday and workers' rights? Third question, what has Norma Jean got to do with Mother's Day? And I hope you haven't forgotten this one. Why is Simnel cake eaten on the fourth Sunday in Lent? I could ask you, how many marzipan balls do you have on a Simnel cake? And then, why did Lord Emsworth of Blandings Castle nearly burn down his stately pile on Mothering Sunday? Well, anyone got any answers? Right, well, anyway, I've got the benefit of having the internet. Yeah, I'll tell you. Oh, right, anyway, Mother's Day is a 20th century invention, American, where the GIs used to write back to their mothers during their service times in Europe. And then President Harry Truman, who wanted to get women back from the factory into homes and to become wives and homemakers, he encouraged Mother's Day. Norma Jean, who was discovered on a factory production line, did exactly the opposite and became Marilyn Monroe, and turned her back on the idea of US homemaker and mother as such. I mean, instead becoming, depending on your point of view, an independent feminist superstar, infuriating Harry Truman in the process. That's fine. Now, Mothering Sunday goes right back to the medieval European history, and it's about the early church, and it's tied into Lent as a precursor to the renewal of your baptismal vows, which I hope you all do during Holy Week. And so servants and workers had to travel back to their place of baptism, which may take a bit of time. We're going to explore that in a second. So they had to be given time off by their employees and owners to travel, you see. And so they had Laetare Sunday became the first sort of public holiday or holy day. It was the beginnings of sort of workers' rights in a sense, essentially, holidays and people thinking about well-being for workers and so on. And Simnel cake was taken home. It was the respite in Lent. And it was taken home, often given to mothers, and it was made from the sort of food that was left over in the pantry and so on. And there's 11 balls on a Simnel cake. I think they don't include Judas Iscariot, because they're the 11 disciples. Is that right? I'll get in back chat here, you know. Anyway, so that's... And of course, what happened is that all the servants went home and Lord Emsworth decided to go into the kitchen, and he caught the kitchen on fire trying to poach an egg for his breakfast. Saying all that, I don't think Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday is incompatible. And interestingly, at work this week, with my secular colleagues, they celebrated International Women's Day. And we had a very interesting conversation about, you know, the Western concept of motherhood and how troubling that is for some of them. And perhaps we'll look at that. But I've got an activity now, so if I could call up Sarah and Derek, please, for their help. I borrowed this. And it's a map of the world. And what I ask people to do is to... Oh, yeah. This is a map of the world, as you can see. And in the tradition of Mothering Sunday, I'd like you to not travel back to your place of baptism, but come up and put a sticker on, or you can tell me and I'll put a sticker on, of where you were baptised. And we've got some here from St. Saviour's this morning. We've got people, Barbados, Kenya, someone in, looks like the Azores, but I think that's in New York. I was baptised in Fulham, so I haven't got a great distance to go. But so anyone who would like to pop up and put a sticker on of where they were baptised, you're very welcome. I'll invite you to come up and we can see how far people have come. St. Paul's Church, yeah.
I'm a homegrown girl.
You want lots of copies of England?
Well, let's just... yeah, brilliant.
Manchester.
Manchester.
Yes.
It's got a cloud above it.
Stop. Attacking my team.
Is it City or United?
United.
Oh.
We need prayer. We need help.
Yeah. So let's see how far people have been.
Could I help?
Yeah, sure. So. Bit of a queue going on here. Nigeria. Where's yours, Derek?
Buenos Aires.
Where?
Argentina.
Oh, flipping. Well, you're much more diverse than...
Scottish settlers.
Oh, that's that famous story, isn't it? There we are, one for you. One for you.
Nairobi.
Yep, there we are. Kenya. Brighton. That's all right. You know what? You're far more diverse here than St. Saviour's. And you would think that St. Saviour's was, but we've got Buenos Aires. We've got Derek from in Argentina, Buenos Aires, which is lots in Kenya, quite a lot in Uganda, South Africa. Croydon. They're falling off. Oh, no.
They're all falling off from London.
Post it, you know, they're not enough. Yeah, there we are.
You have one, please.
Yes. France, yes. Paris.
No.
Thank you.
Where is the Netherlands?
The Netherlands. Yeah. So we've got someone from Holland here.
Holland.
South Africa. Another from South Africa. Oh, there's a few of you, right. Okay, there we are. Yeah, I think it's the arrow pointy bit that's sticky. Yeah. Look, thank you very much for participating in this. We need to move on, but thank you. I'll just two more there. Where you, Kenya, another Kenya.
Yeah.
No Asians.
What was that?
No Asians.
No, we had Lily from St. Saviour's. Look, thank you very much for that. It shows you how diverse we are and as a church and how wonderful God is. How it's a worldwide communion. I think it's very special. So thank you very much. Thank you. Can we just put that on the floor there? Is that okay? Thank you. Sorry about the post-it notes. I'll probably get stickier ones next time. But most of us have come here this morning to celebrate Mother's Day and to think about our own mothers. We deliberately chose the reading today because you've got this wonderful conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Jesus is clever, you know. He sort of draws a link between our birth of flesh and then our birth of wind, the spirit and light, the birth, and he brings the two together. I actually like Nicodemus. He sort of pops up throughout the Gospels. He's a good guy. I think he's a good guy. He's searching for the heart of God. We often think of the Pharisees as these kind of bad guys, but he's a good one. He's a good member of the ruling council and the temple. Because he's genuinely and sincerely seeking the will of God. He says, Jesus answers him in verse 5, I tell you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised in my saying, ye must be born again. You know, we're three, aren't we, in the image of our maker. We're mind, body and spirit. We're born of flesh, but we also need to be born of spirit. And we need to renew our minds, as St. Paul says. We are tripartite beings. We are, you know, and Jesus understands birth. I mean, we celebrate his birth at Christmas. It was a special birth. You know, birth is sacred. It's sacred, not just human birth, but birth of animals and plants and, you know, birth of life. It's a sacrament. It's also mysterious and wonderful. I'm not a woman, but, you know, so I never understand what a woman goes through in birth and childbirth. You know, but I was present at the birth of my two sons, and I could see how dramatic and traumatic giving birth is. And I can see the connection that a mother has with a child. It's a unique connection. And I also say this, actually, because I work at the Bethlehem Hospital and there's a ward there called the Mother and Baby Unit, right? And it's sad. It's the saddest ward in the hospital. So it doesn't always work. And mercifully, it's a few people that, you know, and they get help. But for most people, it's a happy thing to give birth. It's a wonderful thing. It's not for everybody, we need to understand that, and it's not successful for everybody, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But in most cases, it's a happy thing to have children. And it takes me on to another point. If you really do value birth, then as a society, right, birth is a measure of how successful we are. How we understand birth, children, and the adults they become is a measure of how we understand society. If you see a homeless person as once a beautiful baby, or the enemy soldier as a much-loved child, you would feel differently about stepping over them or seeing them as just personnel to kill. Jesus is clever to make this link between human birth and spiritual birth. The birth of the flesh and the birth of the wind and light. And there's a parallel, isn't there? You know, we're born in pain, wonder, mystery, sacrifice. We need doctors, we need nurses. We're involved. And it's the same in our spiritual rebirth. Pain, wonder, mystery, sacrifice, people. The two are parallel. And that's why we celebrate our baptism on Mothering Sunday, because we're celebrating our second birth. And so our birth of flesh, we look back, and our birth of spirit, we look forward. But any traveller, you know, you've got to look out the windscreen and see what's coming. You've got to stay alert. But you also need to check your rear view mirror to see what's coming behind you, see that you're not caught unaware. So Mother's Day can be a look back moment, and we can look back and be grateful to our mothers and all those that have cared for us in birth and childhood. And mothers are good to watch our backs, aren't they? Mothers often, and I, you know, I don't want to be sort of patronising here, but I know from my own mother, every time I did anything where I was in trouble, my mother got on the phone. She kind of, even when she was in Cornwall, I was having a party in Brixton, I'm really worried about you. You know, they have an instinct, don't they, mothers? They have an instinct. I've seen it with my wife and my two children. And when children are in trouble, the first things they do is call on their mothers. Now, I'm going to say something really difficult here. When I was in the military, you know, when I did my military chaplaincy training at Dartmouth, we watched videos of battlefields, the aftermath of a battle, the Falklands, you know, taken to Port Stanley and various others. And what you hear is the crying of men for their mothers, the crying of wounded men, the crying of people of soldiers for their mothers. It's the most awful thing, the most awful thing you can ever hear. And in this time of war, Ukraine, Sudan, Gaza, that's probably going on. And we really do need to stop warmongering, and we really do need to pray fervently for peace, because no mother wants to send their child to war. And nobody wants to hear that awful sound of people crying for their mothers in any language. Politicians are paid to keep the peace. If they cannot do that, we get new politicians who can. And mothers should unite in that call. And it's a critical time to do so now. And there's another difficult thing, if I may. What if the relationship with your own mother has soured, or your relationship with the church has become disillusioned? Again, plenty of the young people I know and work with, they have very negative experiences of family. Some of them have been abandoned by their parents. Some of them never knew their mothers. Some of us have lost our parents that we dearly loved. Some of us have fallen away over the years. Life has taken its toll on our relationships. Some of us have lost our parents and we miss them terribly. You know, life is sad, isn't it? Life is hard. And sometimes the church doesn't help. But God is faithful. God is faithful and just. And we can rest our weary soul in his loving arms. Jesus says, if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. And in the absence of earthly parents, he will draw close to us. And if we call upon him, he's swift to answer. And he's promised to uphold the broken. And he sent his son to comfort the heartbroken. You know, I know that. I see that. I can testify that to that. I see it every day. The comfort of the heartbroken. Now, I want to, if I may, can I invite Margaret to come up? Because I want to ask some questions about about motherhood. I know we're running for time, but do you mind if I just do a quick interview with Margaret? I did one with Kelly this morning. It was great. You know, I'm not a mum. I can't speak about being a mother. What do I know about these things, you know? So thank you very much for coming up. I'm going to put the microphone on you. We have to share it. So my wife Esther wrote these questions. So my first question, what's your name?
Margaret.
And how many children do you have?
Three. And a grandson.
So, Margaret, what do you enjoy most about being a mother?
Everything.
Anything special?
It's when I saw the question, it was actually really hard to say. And I decided to jot down a few things. And I said, I love everything of motherhood. It's sweet and a fulfilling feeling. As an African woman, motherhood is a blessing and fulfilling God's assignment in marriage. Being a mother gave me that fulfillment, that I am indeed a woman created by God, and that have said, go, multiply, and fill the earth. So I fulfilled that portion. And also gave me the purpose to carry on. It taught me patience, tolerance, with ability to understand other children better. Because the three children I have, they had different character in life. So it gave me, then it comes to experiencing that I had while they were growing up as a child. It was amazing holding them. That feeling of holding them as a baby. Their pure innocence response to their environment when they just growing up, it leaves me a memory that I can never forget. I have a memory of all my children, pure-hearted words and questions, which I bring up whenever I want to tease them and laugh. Motherhood is fun, that are nothing to compare to it. Sorry that I'm taking too much of your time.
I've got another question. What are the less enjoyable things of motherhood?
That is the difficult one again. I know people will say there's a lot of work involved being a mother, but the most thing is when they are not grown and then they are trying to take risk. They always want to take big risk. And you know, as a mother, your heart is always yearning for them. Like you were just saying, when you are a soldier. So that risk taking is the most difficult thing. They always want to learn from the risk that they want to take. And you as a mother always longing your hand forward to say, please don't fall into that ditch. Please don't fall into that ditch. So your heart is constantly in your mouth as a mother. That is the most difficult part.
Thank you. How can we as a church support you in your role as a mother? Just some...
Yeah, encouraging sermons that can help mother to get closer to God. Learn how to give it all to God. Actually, God is the only one that can protect. Be open to we mothers so that we can easily approach the vicars, especially because everybody takes the responsibility differently. Some are able to have bigger resilience, where some have lesser resilience to cope. So give your shoulder, open up, listen to mothers. And I said, if possible, create women wing. Like the Church of England in Africa, we have what is called Mother Union and Mother Guide. And those are like an avenue where mothers only gather and be talking about the word of God.
Well, thank you for that. I'm going to just jump to the last question, if I mind. What do you like to do, Margaret, when you are not with your children?
When I'm not with my children, it's, what do I like to do? Prayer. Even when I'm not with them, I'm constantly with them spiritually, which you already said, that instinct is always there. So I'm always prayerful. I always remember Psalm 91. And always remember the word of God that, oh, so mother is like, though God said that he is greater than we who have a suckling mother, a baby in our hand, but we're forever longing for them, prayerful, always for supporting them. Even God, that God does not sleep, neither does he slumber, but we mother, though we sleep, but any moment our eyes is open, is prayer. So our heart is always with them, so it's always prayer.
So I missed out a very important question. This is the last one. What would you say to the, you know, the church is full of male leaders, right? Mm-hmm. What would you say to them as a mother?
You are doing the right thing, honoring us, respecting us, giving us the opportunity. But I will say again, continue with the sermons of that focus on God's love. Care, just as good mother love and care for their children. Simons that talk about God's protection, as mothers always want to protect their children, always encouraging, reassuring ways that can build resilience. Motherhood needs resilience all through the journey of life.
Thank you very much. Can I have a round of applause for Margaret? Just before I finish, thank you so much for that. It's so good to hear what you had to say there. And that was completely, I didn't know what you were going to say. We just had a brief phone call, a text message actually. Opportunity to pray. Do take an opportunity to pray if things have been a bit sticky or God has put something on your heart. You know, do take the opportunity to pray, because as Margaret said, it is God that can do the unseen and can work. So and so do take the opportunity to pray. There are people with red badges on that can pray for you after the service. I'm going to end with to talk about Jesus' own mother, Mary. And I'm going to give you a reading from the wedding of Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was invited to the wedding with his disciples. Then the wine ran out. The mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that got to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother turned to the disciples and said, "You lot, listen. do whatever he tells you. Mary knew her son. She knew her son was special. We know that from the Magnificat. Mary knew exactly what to say to the disciples at the wedding of Cana. Mary clearly wears the trousers. And I think she'd be giving the same advice to us today as the church, the modern day disciples, you and I. Do whatever he tells you. So my final message on Mother's Day and Mothering Sunday is the one from Mary, Jesus' own mother, saying to the church, the mother of Christ Jesus, the mother of the faithful, do whatever he tells you. They listened then, and we should be listening now. I'm going to leave you with the words of Psalm 22, four lines for your comfort, and as a prayer. You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you. Even at my mother's breast, from birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb, you have always been my God. Amen.